soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
Turn it up. To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate y el gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual, car, boat, motorcycle. You get in an accident, nervy time, you need the Daspit Law Firm. Again, DaspitLaw.com. Houston Dynamo goalkeeper Steve Clark joining us now. Steve, thank you very much for taking your time.
Oh, man, glad to be here.
Always a pleasure having you on the show. Well, I would first off say 51st shutout in Major League Soccer, clean sheet. That's a good night for a goalkeeper, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it felt like a total team, team performance there. But anytime that you can walk off an MLS game with a zero, a shutout, you know, it's a good night. So I'm definitely I'm pretty close to being on to New York City, but it's nice to enjoy it for one more day.
Now, this isn't anything that's new to you going through these processes in long Major League Soccer seasons, but boy, this really looked like a balanced performance in both attack and in defense. Maybe you can speak to that from what you saw from your position back there, which is a unique one.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, even reviewing the film, you know, it felt like that at the time. Then reviewing the film, it felt even more like a collective group. I think one of the emphasis is getting, you know, this year was getting smarter, more intelligent team. A more balanced team. And really, you saw that. I mean, Austin's a very, very good team. Went to the conference semis last year, so, or the finals, conference finals. So, you know, to hold them to, you know, few chances and no goals, I think it's really important for us.
Now, we might have thought, you know, some of the new signings like Franco Escobar would have been playing, but, you know, the back four kind of had to have been pieced together. Let's first talk about Daniel Steris as a center back, playing the right back position, not an easy thing. Speak to him a little bit.
Well, you know, Daniel is a guy who's very, very intelligent player. And he adds a lot of things that I don't think are always seen. And you know, the results are when he's playing have been really good. And that's because he's doing a lot of little details, whether it's leadership, whether it's staying balanced instead of going forward. You know, he's been a real asset. And I can't speak highly enough of him.
Steve Clark, Dynamo goalkeeper, picked up the shutout against Austin FC, huge home win, over 19,000 fans in attendance. That was a great night, Steve. We want more of those. That up and down, the energy, there was a crispness in the air. I mean, I have to think when you ran out on that field to warm up for that game, you're just like, hey, this has got all the elements tonight.
No, it definitely did. I think it was probably the best atmosphere since I've been here, and certainly the best atmosphere plus the best performance, you know, great fans into the game, you know, and back and forth. And I think they were entertained, and we're looking forward to this weekend.
So going through this strange bye week, which Ben Olsen pointed out was really kind of bizarre after your first two games on the road, give me some pros and cons to that. And you know, coming into this performance, it's fair to say, I know you had a game against North York from Canada, but it is fair to say that's kind of a unique way to go into a game against a rival in your conference, having that time off.
No, it really was. We probably would want that more in the summer, but really, I think it was a time we used really well. Credit to the coaching staff for all the trainings we went through. We really rededicated to a lot of the things that make us a good team. And you saw those on Saturday night. And I mean, that's just such a good feeling. There was just a lot of work that went into getting back to, after the loss against New England, getting back to what makes us good. And not only for the team, but for myself. And so it felt really rewarding to get those points.
Yeah, it's very visible. Everybody saw the shape. I thought the shape of the team was excellent in comparison to the first two games.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, both road games presented different challenges, but I think at home, when you're talking about, you know, there was 11 players behind the ball the majority of the time, you know, and then when Austin did break our pressure, we immediately retreated to our to the top of our box to try to defend, you know, and I think that again, you know, a lot of times the team that wins is the most intelligent team, and I think that we played very, very smart soccer out there.
Now, for you, it's a team, including yourself, that defended your penalty area very well. And again, that was another area that Ben Olsen had pointed to in the first two games.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice to make a couple saves and get some group defending. It's always, like I said, the first two games to start a season on the road. I feel good about where I'm headed. I feel good about my process. And I think I have a good relationship with the guys. You know, I mean, you've seen me out there. I spend a lot of time talking, you know, one-on-ones and discussing different situations. These are all little details that a team needs to do to come out, whether it's the next week or months down the road for points.
Steve Clark, he's a Houston Dynamo goalkeeper. Last year, hit the 50 mark in Major League Soccer, now 51 clean sheets. That's a lot, Steve. That is a different feeling for a goalkeeper and maybe a back four. Maybe you can take us into that and explain that a little bit, why that's such a validation of good goalkeeping.
You're saying the 51 shutouts?
Yeah, just getting shutouts and clean sheets and you know, even in a game where it's 5-0, you don't want to concede at the end because it's just kind of that standard bearer for a goalkeeper, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think it also, you know, for me, it feels good for the defense, but I think the team in general, knowing that, you know, take some pressure off the guys up front. Look, if we can hold the score to zero, they only need one, you know, and we're really trying to do our best with that. And for me, it always feels good. Again, like, I played for so long, Glenn, that like I try to focus more on my process, and I felt like that was good, then the results are going to be good. You know, a lot of times it feels like you play a great game, you could lose 4-0, you know, or you play bad and you could get a shutout. You know, Saturday felt like I had a good process and we got the results, which is nice. But I'm back here at square one, you know, going through my checks and getting ready for NYC.
All right. You know, the obvious question is coming. Define the process, because I may need that process too.
Yeah. I mean, we would need like a 10-part podcast to go through everything. But I think, you know, look, to any young goalkeepers or anyone in any business, you have to know why you're successful. And it takes a long time to understand that. And it takes even longer time to diagnose it. So I know what makes me successful. So it's about going back to that weekly, daily, and it takes a lot of energy. You know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of studying. It takes a lot of film. It takes a lot of meditation to get yourself ready. So
that's the process leading up to the game, from training to studying film to the mental side, all these things that you do. I think that's fascinating. You know, do you ever look out at youth fields? And I'm sure you've worked with youth goalkeepers and said, wow, there's a lot of handling work going on. Do we sometimes get a little bit overly concerned with how good you look technically, maybe, as a goalkeeper?
Well, I mean, there's definitely times where, like, you know, I've gathered all this knowledge after all these years playing and through my career changed the way I play because I didn't like the way I was playing. Kind of like a swing change. So there'll be a time when I really want to speak out and share some of this knowledge, you know, but there's just something in me that still wants the arena. They still wants to compete after all these years. And I don't see it stopping anytime soon, but when that time comes to share that knowledge, it'll be really exciting to do that.
How much can a goalkeeper make his back four better strictly through verbal communication?
Well, it's not what people think. I mean, it's too loud. It's too fast in the game. There's not a lot of talking in the game. It has to be done preemptively and proactively. So, I mean, I'm trying to proactively communicate more than, you know, I don't like reactive communication. I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing for anyone, you know, in a relationship, a marriage, a team, you know, so I'm trying to be proactive as possible. And I'm spending a lot of time on it. I really, really am. It's a lot of what I do during the week talking about situations.
So now that we're, you know, a good time into being able to play out of the back, how do you like that as a goalkeeper? I mean, it's kind of funny because when I was watching Austin FC take all these goal kicks, because they obviously didn't want to play out of the back, it almost looked weird to me, like I hadn't seen that in a long time, you know, that consistently. So, you know, back to the point of playing out of the back and that part of the game now and how it's changed, how it affects you.
Well, I mean, it was something early in my career that I really wanted to make, you know, to develop, because I knew if I could do that, it would kind of make me more well-rounded. And so I've done that for a long time now. You know, I think we have a good mix here with the Dynamo where we're trying to play, but we're also trying to play more vertically, which I think you really saw that give Austin problems. So for me, a lot of it's just about reading pressure and trying to make the correct decision, the right pass. You know, the coaching staff has done a good job of giving me some leeway and saying, you know, we trust your decisions, but, you know, when we can hit them vertically, but also when the time's right, keep the ball.
So it's a good blend of both. And I mean, we've seen goalkeepers around the world making huge mistakes, guys like Courtois and Alisson. And I think that's just part and parcel of the new way if you're going to consistently play out of the back, right?
Well, it definitely is. And, you know, I don't think it's an area that people, fans have caught up to because, you know, I can hit a great pass and it will go unmentioned. No one will see it. And then you can, you know, that you make a mistake, it's going to be front page news. So it's a part of the game that I think is misunderstood. I think it's a part of the game that, you know, there's not a lot of reward for it for goalkeepers because you could, you know, be an asset in possession and you're never going to get credit for it. So, but I don't care about that. You know, it's something that I believe in and it's a skill that I have. And I know it helps teams get points. You know, that's proof in my career. So I definitely agree that it's part and parcel, but there's a lot of misunderstanding around possession goalkeeping. That's for sure.
Steve Clark joining us, Houston Dynamo goalkeeper, ahead of New York City FC this weekend. All right, New York City FC's won two in a row, probably coming in with a bit of confidence this weekend. What can you say about them, Steve?
Well, they just, you know, they got James Sands back from over abroad. They're a very good team. You know, I actually think they're better than people realize. I don't think they're getting a lot of press because they had, after that, we played them in the MLS Cup a couple years ago, or I did, I played them. They didn't have the best year last year, but I think that they're a very good team. They pose a lot of threats individually, and then collectively they keep the ball really well and can hurt you in many ways. So, I mean, it's going to be another huge game. You know, I mean, they're at the capability of Austin or higher for sure.
How important is it to tag that spectacular Austin game with a performance of similar quality against New York City FC?
You know, I think it's really important for us. I mean, the first stage is getting to where we want, and the second stage is the consistency. So that's everything. I mean, we have to follow this up and we have to continue to bring that same energy and tactical preparation. And it's a big deal.
How about a word on your two center backs, Ethan Bartlow getting the start now, along with teenage Adebi. And obviously those two guys have to play as one and you're directly linked to them in a big, big way. How about some thoughts on them?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was one of the collective stronger performances from the whole back line, but certainly those two, I think they're getting a good partnership, you know, have a run of games together now, kind of feeding off each other, doing a lot of little things right. I think it's important when we, you know, especially when we have the ball, I think their offensive marking really well and putting out fires before they happen. And they're both guys I enjoy working with. I really enjoy my relationship with those guys. So they're performing really well.
And then Tate Schmidt kind of came out of nowhere with Adam Lundqvist moving to Austin and Brad Smith injured, and he's really held down the left back position. And he got very much tested in the very beginning of that game with Ragone and Gallagher, but ended up having a solid night as well.
Really did. He's been awesome. You know, I didn't know Tate very well before he came here, but just what a great addition. And again, a guy that, you know, similar to Daniel, that we can communicate with, that we can work together with him and talk about plays and work as a unit. And he's done a really good job, and he's a great guy, a real good locker room guy too. So it's been a wonderful addition.
How's fatherhood been, Steve?
Oh, it's great, man. Birdie's coming off the field is awesome to her. She's a real special girl and growing like a weed. And it's a blast. I'm looking forward to go meeting her at the zoo right now after this phone call. So.
All right. Since you got to go to the zoo, guess what? We're going to end this interview right now. Thank you for joining us here on ESPN 97.5 tonight.
Appreciate you so much. Thanks so much.
All right. That's Steve Clark. He's off to the zoo with his daughter. And we do appreciate everything he did coming on the program here tonight. We went through the entire back four. We'll take a break here. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll roll on. We want to remind you briefly about Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. It's got to be on your bucket list of contemporary furniture stores. If you like the modern contemporary look, well, it's Danish Inspirations. DanishInspirations.com, our good friend Jan Christensen. All right, we'll take a break. We got more to come here on Soccer Matters. In the dead of night.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, as always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you to John and his firm, DaspitLaw.com. Quick moment here for Advantage BMW in Midtown. This is where you go to seek performance and find luxury. You do it at Advantage BMW in Midtown. You go down there, you ask for Justin, you ask for Steven. You're going to experience premium service. It'll be tailored to you. You get connected to the expert sales team. They'll help you find the perfect new certified pre-owned or pre-owned vehicle. You'll get into that dream vehicle, believe me. Service center dedicated to putting your time first. Discover something special. Discover your hometown Advantage at San Jacinto and Gray or at AdvantageBMWHouston.com. That's Advantage BMW Midtown. Story, and it is a great one when it comes to football in Germany. This is Bundesliga 2, FC St. Pauli coach who has taken over for a club legend, Timo Schulz. His name is Fabian Hertzeller. He's only 30 years of age, and since taking over, they have won 8 straight matches. Well, Fabian, you replace a head coach that's kind of a legend at St. Pauli, and Timo Schulz, as a very young man. When you initially got approached about the job, what went through your mind?
Yeah, at first I want to say that I had a really good time with Timo Schulz, the head coach in former times before me, and I was his assistant coach, and I really liked to work with him. We had a really good time with a lot of nice events, with a lot of nice games, so I really appreciate working with him. And yeah, when the club asked me to get, at first, like the interim coach, so at first, the club asked me to take over as an interim coach, and I said, of course, yes, because I think I have the responsibility for the success of the club. So I'm in a position, or I was in a position, to help the club. And if the club asked me, of course, I said yes, because, like I said, I'm in a position to help them. And I was not thinking about, okay, do I feel prepared for the situation, or do I feel prepared as a person for this tough situation? I didn't think about this too much because I was really in my working mode. So I start working immediately. I try to analyze a lot of things with my staff and with my coaching team. So we analyzed what can we do better, what can we improve. And so we get in a working mode like really fast. So I can't think about the situation too much.
He's Fabian Hertzeller, the head coach of St. Pauli in the German Bundesliga 2. He's only 30 years old. And you know, to go from an assistant coach where, you know, your role is very different to being a head coach and now being the man with the ultimate decision, I can't think that's an easy thing to do. How did you handle that?
Yeah, my first speech to the team was that I said to them, okay, I'm still Fabian, so I won't change. My character won't change because I want to be authentic, and I won't change my personality. So, of course, I had a really good relationship to them, and also a very trustful relationship. And I think at the first weeks, it helps me a lot because we had a lot of discussions also with the players, also with the experienced players. And we were really honest to each other. So I told them, I know that you feel a bit like it's not a typical situation for them. Now I'm the head coach. I was the assistant coach. So it's also for them not an easy situation. But I think the best way to deal with it was to be honest with them and to talk about their thoughts. What do they feel? What's their thinking about the situation? And so we had quite very trustful and very honest discussions with each other. And it helps us a lot. And yes, I didn't change. But the only thing what changed was that I'm now the coach. I'm the person who makes decisions and who also has to make hard decisions for some players. And I also told them, so my acting was really honest. So I was honest to them. I said, okay, I'm still Fabian, but I'm now the coach who makes tough decisions, and it might hurt some of you, but you have to deal with it. And that was the first ways and the first acting's what I did at the beginning.
He's Fabian Hertzeller. He's the head coach of St. Pauli. This is a wonderful opportunity for us. You know, you got to manage a whole roster now. I would imagine you had a lot of experience dealing with players that weren't getting into the first team, that had challenges, that had desires that were getting unfulfilled. So I would think that's good preparation for managing an entire roster.
No, so I think that, of course, I had in my former times, I had good experience in different clubs. So I started in a very unprofessional club called Pippenried. It was here in Germany and near to Munich. It's a real unprofessional club. It was in the fifth division and we made it to the fourth division. But I worked with players who worked beside playing soccer. So that was my first experience. The second experience was that I trained with youth kids. So I also worked for a school camp, a football school camp. And I worked with like 6 years old children, with 10 years old children. And this also was a really good experience for me as a coach, yeah, to deal with young children, to look at their behaviors, to see what do they need and what is their motivation. And this helps me also a lot to deal with the players now. And afterwards, I was I worked for the German Association as an under 20 assistant coach. And of course, German Association, very, very professional. So high standards, very good players, the best of Germany in their youth or in their age. And there was also experience to see how really professional players work. So how also is it to be in a professional team? Big stuff, a lot of stuff to handle a big team, because to handle the stuff is also a very important thing or important the job a coach has to do. So I got a lot of experience from different ages, from different standards. And then I worked here for St. Pauli 2.5 years as an assistant coach. So yeah, I got experiences from all different areas and it helps me a lot, but I won't say that I have a clear, I think you can't deal with players in the same way. So they're all different characters and you have to treat them like individuals and you have to get behind the players, because behind the players, they're all like persons and you have to know what each person's needs. And I think that's the best way to describe my way to deal with the players or to treat them as persons. Yes.
I'm sure you're probably tired of hearing everybody say you're a young coach, because you just exemplified all the practice that you've put into place. But there is a good question, and that is, you know, why and when, I guess, when did you decide you wanted to get into the management, the coaching side of it? How early? Was that something you kind of knew pretty early?
I think yes. So when I was a player, I always was a player who take a lot of responsibility. I was a captain almost in every team. And that's why I had a special connection to my coaches. And I watched the game from a different point of view. I reflect the game from a different point of view, not only as a player, also like in discussions with my former coaches. So I discussed with them, how was the game? How do you see it? How do you see the dynamics of the game? And that was really interesting for me. So I started this really early. And that's why I wouldn't say that it surprised me to get a coach. But of course, actually, it was planned. I planned to be a professional soccer player. And I ended my career then I was 20, 21, 22. So it was clear for me, my passion is soccer. Yeah, and it's my hobby and I can do it to my job. So it fits perfectly. So yeah, I'm really happy to work in a soccer business, because yeah, it's my passion and I want to do it my whole life.
Fabian Hürzeler, he's the head coach of St. Pauli in Germany. You know, for my listeners, Fabian, I know of St. Pauli for a long time, but talk to them about how important the club is in the city, the passion, the amount of fans you get, and then take that into, does that make you feel pressure and a responsibility to deliver?
So I don't feel pressure. I think I put pressure on my own, or the pressure I put on my own is the maximum you can have. So I don't feel pressure from outside. It doesn't reach the level I put on my own. So that's why I know there's a lot of responsibility. I know it, because it's a really, really huge club in Germany. It has a high impact in the social media also here. In not only in Hamburg, it's also international, and especially in Germany. And it's a big club. So, of course, there's responsibility. But I don't feel that I have to deliver for anybody. I have the feeling that I have to deliver for the club, because the club is the most important thing, and I deliver for the success of the club, and that's what I try to focus on, because in soccer you can't influence everything. You can't influence everything. There are so many things where you can't expect or you can't plan them. So you have to focus on these things, what you can influence on the pitch. And I try to do a lot of content with the team and to keep working on it. And one thing I think what is special, yeah, for us, for your listeners, is that São Paulo is a club with very important values, also, yeah, in the society. So, for example, they bring politics or they do politics in the stadium. So they were one of the first clubs to bring it to the stadium and know it, that it's a stage to bring these values to the people here in the world, or to the people in Germany. So, for example, against racism, against sexism. So these are things where I also can identify with, because I also think that's very important to stand together or to do or to make and to bring attention to these values. And I think St. Pauli does this very nice. So I can completely identify with this.
Fabian Hertzeller, he's the head coach of St. Pauli in Germany. It's a Bundesliga 2. They're undefeated since he took over. Look, you took over at a tough time. You know, a legendary person in the club loses his job. You take over at a tough time. Confidence is an important potion. It's something that we all want to acquire, but it's not always easy to acquire. How did you rebuild that with the group of players once you took over?
I think that's one of the most important things in soccer. I just read an article where Sir Alex Ferguson said that 80% happens in the head. And I think that's absolutely true. So I started, like I said, you have to know the players very well. You have to know their characters very well. And then you have to bring them back their trust in their own strengths, their trust in their own weapons. And that was one of the biggest things. So I tried to convince them that they are still good. They had high expectations, or they have high expectations on their own, and they can't do this in the first part of the season. So, of course, the confidence was low. But my job was to rebuild this. So I worked with a lot of them in an individual way. So I showed them training scenes. I showed them scenes where they did it well in the past, and I keep working with them on the pitch or every day. So it was always like working on the pitch and show them afterwards scenes and show the positive scenes and talk to them like positive. Don't talk to them negative. Try to focus on the momentum and not on the past. So we see it also like a challenge that we can't made the expectations from the club or from their own, but we see it as a challenge. And like this, I said it also to them. So it was a big, big thing to bring back to the players their confidence, because like I said, it's like footballers 80% in the head, and it was very important. And the other side was, of course, that we did a reanalysis of the season. And of course, we have a lot of content where we can work on it. And that's what I said, that I went immediately in the work mode. So we did a lot of content at the beginning where to improve. And I think it's also that we weren't fixed on the results. I also said to my team, keep on focusing on the process. Don't try to focus too much on the results, because if you keep focusing on the process, the results will come. And if we say we must win and we must score goals, then it won't happen. If we focus on the process and we focus on the content, what we want to train and where we want to improve, then I think then the results will come.
Okay, so that was part one of the interview with Fabian Hertzeller, the FC St. Pauli coach. Part two right around the corner. First, before we go to break here, a word for Danish Inspiration's Modern Contemporary Furniture. Head over to 2775 Fondren for the best in modern contemporary furniture. Now, Danish Inspirations should be on your bucket list of modern contemporary furniture shopping. DanishInspirations.com. If you go there, you can see the wide selection online. They've got the Stressless line. I've got one of their lounge chairs. They're awesome. The best in modern contemporary furniture is presented by the great Dane himself, Jan Christensen, and Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. DanishInspirations.com. Part two, right around the corner with FC St. Pauli coach Fabian Hertzeller.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, two places. It's at Glenn Davis Sock. Would really appreciate the follow, the like, those types of things. And, of course, at Soccer Matters GD. GlennDavisSoccer.com as well, plus Soccer Matters on Facebook. So there's all the places you can find us. By the way, Lamont Brands. Now, LamontBrands.com, partnering with Soccer Matters and the Snowdrop Foundation. This is where you get your Soccer Matters T-shirts. You can get the Soccer Matters new trucker hat. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients, awareness fundraising. And, of course, you know, this show is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. LamontBrands.com. We just got done with a great camp that was done 16 straight years by Dynamo's Youth Soccer Club up in the Cy-Fair area, headed up by the former Houston Hotshot indoor player Olivier Finidori. SG1 will be doing one in April, so much going on. All right, here's part two. Fabian Hertzeller, FC St. Pauli coach. Look, you're somebody who's very into the tactics. I'm assuming a lot of that might have been gathered when you were at Bayern Munich as a young man. Take us into that a little bit and that influence.
Yeah, I had great coaches in my soccer career, and I took a lot from them. So, of course, you always have to have your own philosophy. I think that's the most important point. But it's like a puzzle. You can take pieces out from this philosophy. You can take pieces out from this philosophy. But in the end, you have to create your own philosophy. And there are two things what are really important for me is that you can't bring your philosophy to a club because sometimes the players aren't available. So you always have to see what players are there. So what players or what is their weapon? And are there players who want to go in the second ball, or are there players who want to play soccer from the back? Are there a lot of players who play one against one? Are there a lot of players who want to be near the ball? So you have to see what fits perfectly to the players, because St. Pauli is a club who develops the players, and St. Pauli is not a club where I can say, okay, I want this and this player, and it will happen, because there's no, the money is not, or the budget is not big enough to do this. So you have to see, or you have to work with the players who are there. And that's my point of view, that you have to see, okay, in which places, in which area they feel like comfortable and they feel well, because only if they feel comfortable on the pitch, they can bring the performance. Then the next thing is, what is also for me important is that there is like a clear structure. Yeah, you need a clear structure in the team. You need a clear hierarchy. How you see it, and you know what I mean? Yeah, you need a clear hierarchy in the team. That is also important. Then it's also important that you're fit, you have to be in a good condition. That's a very big point. And then in the end, you can talk about tactics, but the things like that the players feel good, that the players feel comfortable, that you have a clear structure, and the third point is like the condition of the players. And then you can talk about tactics. And to answer your questions is that I get a lot of tactics from each coach. So I also had like coaches in Bayern Munich. I was able to train with Jupp Heynckes, for example. I was able to train also a little bit with Erik ten Hag. I like to watch games. I really love to watch soccer, for example. I watch Jurgen Klopp, I watch Tuchel, I watch Pep Guardiola, I watch Nagelsmann, and I like to watch soccer. And of course, if you watch a lot of soccer, then, like I said, you get some pieces out of it. But in the end, it's important which player is here, yeah, which player fits to the other players, and which formation is the best where you players who are available here in the club, which formation fits perfectly to the players who are here. And that's my thinking at first. And that's why you have to create the philosophy on these categories, and not like, okay, I have my philosophy and I bring it to the club. I think that doesn't work here in St. Pauli. So, of course, I have a clear philosophy. I played for Bayern Munich like 10 years, and ball possession is one of the biggest things. So, of course, I want to have the ball, because if I have the ball, if my team has the ball, the opponents won't have any chance to score. So I want to act. I don't want to react. I don't want to be passive. I want to create chances by ball possession, not by transition. So that's what I can say. But especially in the second league, it's really, really tough. The games are like 50-50, and you also have to be very intensive against the ball. So if you don't work or don't be intense in training, you won't have any chance here in this second division, because there's like really, really intensity in the games. Then what I also learned is, for example, set pieces. Yeah, set pieces can be like game changers, can be match winner. It's also a big thing. So I learned a lot in the last 2.5 years when I was assistant coach, and it helps me now when I'm the head coach. But like I can say, deep, deep in my DNA is, of course, the philosophy having the ball and finding solutions with the ball. It starts in the back. I don't want to play long balls. It starts in the back, and it continues in the final third.
Bobby, and I saw something where you were talking about that this St. Pauli may have gotten predictable, and it was easy for opponents to scout you. Tactically in games, how much do you have to change now in the modern game? You know, away from what maybe are your basic starting point of principles, how much do you have to change now?
So I work a lot with principles, and principles are really important for me. So in the end, of course, you have a formation, but the formation is not the most important thing. The most important thing are the principles we work on, because there are so many different situations in the game where you can't prepare the team. But if they know the principle and they know to use the principle in the right moment, then every player knows what to do. So we're really, really working hard on the principles. So the principles always be the same. Of course, sometimes you have to adapt small things. If the opponents play with 5 in the back, if the opponents play with 4 in the back, if the opponents play with 1 number 6, with 2 number 6. So, of course, there are different spaces you can attack. And also against the ball, there are different attacking drills from the opponents. So, of course, you have to prepare your team, and you have to show it to them. But the principles will always be the same. And the principles gives the team a lot of orientation, also the individual player orientation, and it helps them the most. So that's why, in my opinion, it is very helpful to work with these principles, and then to adapt small things from game to game. But the most important thing is that we want to continue with our process, that we want to improve in our style of play, and that's why we keep focusing a lot on us.
Fabian Hürseler, St. Pauli coach in German Bundesliga 2. You know, I hear a lot of coaches now, even in press conferences after the game, using expected goals and all this data type terminology. How important is data to you, and at what point is there maybe too much data?
Yeah, in my opinion, it's too much data, of course. Even I would say I'm a young and a modern coach, but for me, it's too much data. And we lose the qualitative analyzing of the game. So we look at the data and we say, okay, they shot like, or they have an XG from 1.5, and they only shot one goal, so how can it happen? But I think data's they are important, especially for me, but reanalyzing after like 10 games, for example, you can use data. But for me, data is not so important. So I like to analyze games with my own eyes. Of course, sometimes it helps you to confirm something. When you have a feeling, then of course you look sometimes at data, but I'm not a fan of it, and I think that sometimes it's too much data. Yes.
Do you have any? You were born in Houston. Do you have any recollection of your time in Houston? I mean, does your memory go back that far as a little guy?
No. So I have a big family, and we did a lot of holidays or vacations in the United States when I was young, and that's why I like to be in the USA. I really enjoyed when I was there and with my family and doing vacations there, because for me, United States is still my country, and I like the people who live there. I also like the MLS, so I follow the MLS, and I follow also the development and the process the soccer is doing at the moment in the United States. And I think more and more German players are going there. And also, like, for example, in St. Louis, the new team in the MLS is built up by Lutz Pfannenstiel. And I was in touch with him at former times. I worked with him in TSG Hoffenheim together. And yeah, I know some persons who worked with him or who work or help him building up St. Louis. So of course I follow it. And for example, in Philadelphia Union, it's also Ernst Tanner. Yeah, I was also in touch with him here. He was the chief from 86 Munich in Germany. So I visited him in summer, and it was also very interesting to see their culture and to see their philosophy and how they play. So of course it's still like a big focus, and still like really, really feeling really familiar when I'm there. Yes.
Germans know their football. It's a great soccer playing country. We all know that, the passion around it. What are some of the impressions you get from people and on how they feel the game is in Major League Soccer and the quality of the game?
I think it's improving a lot. So also like tactical stuff is improving. And I see it also like, I think the best example is how the United States play in the World Cup. For me, it was a clear structure, and you can clearly see how they wanted to play. And I think that's very important. And that's what I also see in the MLS. Yeah, and I just talked to a player who's now playing in the MLS, and I asked him what is the, if you compare it to the German, because he played here in the Bundesliga, and I asked him, and he say the biggest thing here in Germany, they're sometimes really like cramped, so they want the success and they don't enjoy the real soccer. So, and he said that in the United States, the players and also all the companies, they really enjoy the game, because soccer is a game in the end. And sometimes in Germany they're like really focusing too much on the success. And this was his, and I think a really, really interesting opinion from him. Yes.
Fabian, I want to thank you very much for your time. Excellent interview. Really, really enjoyed it. I want to wish you the best in your coaching career. You're certainly off to a great start. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for listening.
All right, that does it for Soccer Matters tonight on ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to all of you who tuned in. Don't forget, Saturday night we will have the call of the Dynamo New York City FC game right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Podcast of this show, ESPN975.com. Don't forget to hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at GlenDavisSoc, at SoccerMattersGD, Facebook Soccer Matters, GlenDavisSoccer.com. And, of course, a big thank you, as always, producer extraordinaire Andrew Carlson, and, of course, Guillermo Lazo Romero as well. And until next Tuesday night, I want to remind you of one thing, and you know what it is. Soccer matters.